Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio. I'm your host, Will Smith. We got a fantastic show for you this evening. We have some sports that's going to be coming on, and they're going to be different with you. We're going to be making you feel good, and we're going to be making you feel good. We're going to make the mood hot. We're going to keep up, and we're going to bring you Word Sexy Radio. Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we got this show coming at you this evening, this September 10th, 2012, and I must say, we didn't have a show last week because I was in the Caribbean, and I was having a great time, and it was absolutely magnificent and hard to get back, but I did it anyway, so we're going to be doing our thing, we're going to be doing what we got to do, and we're going to start out with a little bit of admin first, and then we'll get right into it. We have a lot of guests this evening, and we'll be also talking to, you know, on the different subjects that we'll be talking about this evening as well, and we'll let our guests intrigue us with some of their poetry as well. So we'll be getting there in just a second. But what I want to do now is see if my co-host is here. DV, are you there?
Yeah, it's me, man.
Hey, well, how's it going, man? Good to hear your voice. I know you've been out net for a minute. Been taking care of business, and we understand that. So how's things going for you?
Man, you know, I'm back in my right state of mind, and everything seems to be on the up and up.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, we got a lot of people that's going to be on this evening, and the switchboard is full right now. We also have we have another author that's going to be here as well. Her name is Dominique Wilkins, and it's not the basketball player. Okay,
she's going to be here. I was hoping for that one.
Yeah, she's going to be here in a second. And we also have a number of poets who I am going to get them started here in just a second. First of all, let me go down the roster and make sure that everybody here is on here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the mic. I'm going to give people a chance to speak, and we'll see what we have here, who is here, because I understand that their leader is not going to be here because he's bowling. Anyway. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to start with area code 757. State your name and where you call up on it, and if you're a guest on this night show. And if you're not, then say you're a listener and don't hang up, please. Hello?
Hello?
Are you a guest or are you a listener?
I guess that would be me. I'm a guest.
Okay, and state your name there. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, this is Clarity. I'm here in Hampton.
Clarity.
Yeah.
Oh, Clarity. Okay. All right. We like that. Okay. Well, we're glad to have you here on the show, and we're going to go on down and see if some more of your compadres is here. And there's a lot of 347 area codes, so I'm going to have to put the first three. I don't want to put your last because I want to put your information out there. But so if you are a 347 number with a 272 beginning, state your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening. This is Empress Poetry.
Wow, y'all got
and I'm calling
names.
From Brooklyn, New York.
Wow, y'all got these names and sounding all sexy and everything. What's going on with that? Okay. Well, we're glad to have you on the show now. Y'all know this is explicit radio, right? Y'all know this is grown folks radio, right? Okay, just want to make sure. So when I say some cuss words, don't be tripping when I be cussing this shit, okay? All right, so, okay, now, 917 area code. Are you a listener?
Yeah, that was me. Okay. I'm a guest. I'm all flowing Big Mama.
Big Mama. Damn, y'all coming at me tonight. What's up? Dude set me up, didn't he? Dee, you hear this, man?
Indeed, I do.
Me and everything. Wow, I like that. Okay. Well, we thank you for coming on the show, and we're going to get y'all started here in just a second. How about this other number? I think it's 217 is the first part. It's the 347 one.
Yes, peace.
Uh-oh, we got a brother. What's going on?
Yes, blessings, Tony Christ, Untamed Talent.
Okay. Well, can you speak up just a little bit so we can... I didn't get that.
Tony Christ from Untamed Talent.
Unseen.
Oh, Unseen Talent. Okay. All right, well, we're going to see it tonight. A little, well, we won't see it. We'll hear it, right? Okay, but he's being quiet on me. Okay. All right, well... Now we got 972. That is a 347 number. State your name where you're calling.
Yes, sir. What's going on? It's the real repping Untamed Talent calling out
Untamed.
Of Brooklyn. You heard?
Okay, I hear you. I hear you now. All right. And I think this is Miss Wilkins, 773 area code. Is this you? Hello. Okay, I know why she's not speaking. It's my fault because I don't have her mic on. Okay, there you go. How are you, Steven? That was my fault. That was me. That wasn't you, baby. I did that shit. I'm sorry.
No,
How are you doing?
Fine. I'm good. Okay. Thanks for having me. This is Dominique Wilkins. I am in the house representing tonight.
Okay. Well, we glad you ain't the basketball player, Dominique Wilkins. We don't want to talk to him anyway. No. I'm just playing. I couldn't help it. It was just there. I'm sorry. Okay, and BV, you next. I got you. And then, okay, this 347 471 number. Who is this?
Listener.
Huh?
Listener.
Y'all is just real sexy. Or is this how y'all talk?
I don't know. Y'all got me twisted now. What's going on?
Okay, this is what we're going to do. Now, since it's about 10 of y'all here, and we have Ms. Wilkins as well, what we're going to do is we're going to start with Dominique first and get her a chance to explain who she is and what's going on with her, talk about her book, and then we're going to get into the poetry. Is that okay with you all?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, so Dominique. Tell us about yourself. Let everybody know about you.
Okay. Other than the fact that I share my name with the guy that we don't want to talk about, I am a new writer. I am from Chicago, and I've written a couple books, and they are five-star reads. They're very good books, and they're mostly generated for the audience that have been through pain and trouble and drama. And basically, it's reality fiction, and I'm just looking for somebody who needs that validation that they need to stop going through that drama and just encourage people to try to get up and get out by seeing themselves in the pages instead of since they can't see themselves in the mirror.
Interesting. So how did you come up with the concept for that? You just kind of one day it just came to you?
Well, you know, it's all the phone calls that I get. It's the news. It's drama everywhere. I come from Chicago. I'm from the Inglewood, born and raised in Chicago on the south side, and everything out there is just rough. Everybody's stories and their scars, they're a mess. And so it's just because it's a mess and it's every day, I didn't want people to think it was okay. So because I'm a licensed cosmetologist, my job was to encourage people and, you know, make them feel better. So I just took it from the chair to the book, and now I'm writing messages for people to love, and they're really feeling it. People are really feeling it. I've got my main book is Mother-in-Law Guilty of Murder, and now I've got a shorty out here. It's 47 pages, so people who don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and get into it, I got to Reclaim Wonderland for people to enjoy. And like I said, it's five stars all across the board.
Okay, well, Ms. Wilkins, I have a question. I like Dominique Wilkins. You know, I grew up watching him, you know, human highlight film. You know, I dig that. But my question to you is, you stated the term reality fiction. So doesn't that kind of make it nonfiction or I'm lost?
Well, look, what nonfiction is, if I tell you this story, we can find somebody, a name, a face, and everybody, and they'll say, yes, this is my story, on this date it happened. But what makes it fictional is that there's no one person. This person, Teresa, she really doesn't exist. Her name is Teresa Mallory, and this, I don't know if we find her in the telephone book, she can't say that, well, what's the chance of her really saying that she does, then oh my God. But Teresa Mallory doesn't exist per se. But this story does. The story does exist. It does happen. So she's going through a 50 million things at one time, and chances are the fictitious part is that I like to believe that one person really isn't going through all of these dramatic episodes at the same time. So you see what I'm saying? That's what makes the reality and then the fiction at the same time.
Wow. You know, that's different shit. We got to have something different when we come out in the literary game now today. And we're going to find that out tonight when we talk to the poets, because I'm sure they have some things that's different as well. But and you say that there's a lot of people that's interested in this new thing that you have, and it's blowing up pretty well. So what is your goals? What is the dream that you want to take this, want to do with this? But I know you say you want to help people, but are you trying to take this to, like, the mainstream, or are you take it out into the, you know, like a reality show or something like that?
Well, in all honesty, Red, what I really want is I want people to get it, however way they get it. I want them to get it. I don't really see myself as an author first. I see myself as a motivator, as an encourager first, as a motivational speaker who happens to have written a book, who's using this book to try to reach people. So a lot of that, I'm writing from the heart. I've got my own story in some of the pages. And I just using my story as a vessel to try to reach other people who are out here not getting it, you know. So that's where the my ultimate goal is. I want to be able to reach people. I want somebody to say, "Ooh, I love that. I know exactly what's going on in there." And then at that point, I'm good. I've reached my goal for that day. If I can touch somebody and they got it, I'm good.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of these motivational speakers do have books, but I guess what I'm trying to say or trying to find out is, and it sounds like yours is different, but the thing is, you know, you plan to take this, I guess, around the globe and actually have seminars where you can actually talk to people, and you want them to get what it is that you're trying to encourage them to get. So
yeah. When
you say get something, what is it that you're trying to get them to get?
What do you, man, you took the question right out of my mouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I'm trying to see, what is it you want them to get?
I want them to get, the point where we're at right now, our society, our community, our people, I want them to start going back to what we were supposed to be here to do. We're supposed to love each other, love ourselves first, you know, and stop disrespecting ourselves and each other. And that way, if people can find the love and the strength within themselves, we can be so much better people, and we won't be tearing each other down. And so that's what I want people to get back to be able to find that, get themselves together before they start trying to say they love somebody else or tell somebody else what to do. So I'm just, it's a movement of empowerment.
Okay, then here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. So why write reality fiction instead of self-help? Because everything you're saying sounds
mm-hmm.
just like self-motivation or self-help. So why not
like
focus on that genre? Right. Instead of, I mean, we can all use short stories to show, you know, a for instance or, you know, a hypothetical. But that sounds almost verbatim like something in the self-help genre. So why not establish yourself as, right, why not establish yourself as someone who, you know, is self, I mean, you're already an motivational speaker, so, I mean, the self-help genre is, like, perfect.
No, you're absolutely right. But you know what, when I hear self-help, how many people really know they've got a problem and they're really going to go pick up a self-help book? So
let me jump in right there, right now. Reason why I want to jump in is because most of the time, black people don't think they got no problems. I mean, we see people in our families all the time that has issues. They say, "Oh, that's just Uncle Robert. He's just, you know, he's a little different."
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with Uncle Robert is that motherfucker needs some damn help. He needs to go to the doctor and be diagnosed for schizophrenia, but we don't want to accept that. So
okay.
How are you going to get people, even in the way you're doing it, how are you going to get them to do that? And also, I want to let the poets know, if you have a question, you can ask as well. We all interact in this. Okay, so how would you get them, in doing it in this way, how are you going to get them, when you don't put the label self-help, how are you going to get them motivated to still do that?
Well, people are going to, first of all, the synopsis is already in the synopsis and the advertisement and everything, for example, with the Teresa in Wonderland. When I advertise that book, I let you know that this girl is having a conflict here. Is she going to go for suicide? Is she going to kill herself? Is she going to fight herself? Is she going to sit and fight? What is she going to do? So people who have identified with that, they're going to grab the book, looking for a good entertaining read, and then during the process of looking for a good entertaining read and being able to identify with the story, at the end or in sprinkle within the book, I'll go ahead and actually say, you know what, verse so-and-so says in the Bible, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do this. And at the end, maybe this character here says, you know what, her problem was she had lack of self-love. And when Teresa found out this, then she found self-love and she realized she didn't need this, woo off the bam, and so on, where the message kicks in. So it's not the direct the self-help journal entry that you're typically reading where it's like serial instructions. It's an entertaining read where after you get through identifying with the character, then, yes, you hit home with the message that this is what just happened. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you're right. I do the same thing. Apparently, maybe I don't really love myself to not let this.
Yeah, I understand the concept. Understand that we're not going against what you're saying. Please don't think that, because that's not it. Understand the concept. Understand what you're trying to do with it. My thing is you're trying to let people get therapy without them knowing they're getting therapy. And that's
therapy. Right.
I got
but I think, like, I read this book a long time ago, and I think it was by Michael Bazin. It was called How and Why Men Cheat. And
yes,
basically, what the book was about was he would give, you know, stories, whether they be fictional or whether they be actual. He gave scenarios of men, whether he talked to them or men who knew men, you know, kind of hearsay evidence on basically opening up the conversation as to how and why men cheat. I mean, and you, whenever you establish yourself as a self-help guru, people take you seriously and they take the things that you have to say seriously. If you proclaim it as fiction, people will take it just as that. Oh, that was a sad story, but I hate that dude. You know, that dude, they don't take you as seriously. So, I mean, you have a powerful story to tell. So, I mean, in my perspective, it's the difference between you being somebody who's standing in front of 10,000 people who, you know, who's basically telling them how to better themselves, and you standing between a crowd and say, well, you know, it's fictional, but it's based on a true story. People don't really take you as seriously. They don't consider your work that serious as soon as you say fiction. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's a true story written in a fictional way, but when you put that self-help, everyone identifies with at least one of the people that you're talking about.
And you have, I'm sure you have letters that go along with it behind your name. That go along with it.
No,
right?
I don't. I have licensed cosmetologists. I have.
No, man, you don't have to. You don't need all those. Because you know what?
I know
as long as you know. Yeah, as long as you know about what you're talking about, you are, you know, and as long as you reinforce that, as long as you, you know, believe in that and you have evidence to back it up, you can be a professional.
Okay,
you
well,
know,
I am,
know.
Man, with all the damn
no.
erotic
because, Red, you
shit,
know
I'm
like I know.
Fucking...
How many,
no,
how many
okay,
people
no.
walking around telling you how to sell self-published books because they sold 10 books? You know what I'm saying?
Know.
They believe they the best. They you know, they even put on a book, number one bestseller for 30 seconds on Amazon.
Right.
You know,
we understand.
And now all of a sudden they're a bestseller. And they go
right.
around, you know, promoting themselves as best-selling author. So, I mean, as long as, you know, you can reinforce that notion, even if it's for 30 seconds, reinforce the belief that you know what you're talking about, you'll have masses of people willing to listen to everything that you have to say. You put that fiction in there, and people will just consider your, you know, consider whatever it is you write fiction.
Yeah, you have to be careful with that when you do it. I mean, I understand where DV is coming from, which we usually don't agree all the damn time, but for some damn reason, tonight I agree with his ass to a point, and I'm sure that before tonight's over I won't be agreeing with him. But anyway, right now what he's saying I agree with. You got to be careful on how you do that. I applaud you, though, Dominique, for going in the route that you're going, because a lot of people don't go in that way.
Right.
So my understanding of that is I applaud you trying to do that, but just understand, be careful that you make sure you the audience or the people that you're trying to reach understand that there is truth to this, to a, even though it may be a fictional situation, because that's what I think it is. It's fictional situations that you're using to tell the truth about something that actually can happen to someone.
Right, that
so
matters.
If that's the case, then you've got to make sure that you kind of explain that a little bit when you bring it out. And you'll do that when you do your actual lectures, I'm sure. So.
Right.
But
and it does not matter. It doesn't matter. You know, whether you're a cosmetologist, or you could pick up garbage for a living. If you establish yourself in this realm as an expert and you do the study and you put in the work, that makes you a guru. At least you know more than 99% of us who aren't in that field who know that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So DV, you saying I'm a guru and shit, man, because I write all this crazy shit.
You're just a horny Negro. That's all you. But you know, but if you wanted to be like, you know, I'm Red Snapper, you know, I can establish myself because, you know, I can consider myself a relationship expert because not of only my experiences, but you know, you write about these experiences, you study other people's experiences, you know, in my mind, you may have insight that none of us, all of us combined don't have, you know, or insight or perspective that, you know, that we never really thought about, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So Dominique, how if somebody wanted to get your books and they wanted to contact you to come and do, you know, some type of a lecture or some type of, a self-help talk or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, symposium.
It's a symposium, yeah. If somebody needed you to come in and do that, how could they do that?
You'd want to go to my website, which is www.authordwilkinsgoodbooks.com.
Okay. And I'm sure you're doing these, you're going out and doing a lot of these talks, right? So have you been touring so far?
I have. As a matter of fact, we're working on putting an expo together. We're calling it an expo because we're going to do this around Valentine's Day, perfect time to talk about relationships and loving each other and loving yourself. So we're actually in the process of doing that, getting one together for February.
Okay, well, we're going to keep you on the show because I think we got a subject later on. If you want to stay, of course, I'm not letting you go yet. But if you have to go, I understand, because this is a two-hour show. And we're going to let the poets get in here in a minute and get them started. And then we do have a little bit of situations. We usually talk relationship stuff here on the show. I don't know what the subject is, and my DB is going to let me know. But we're going to be talking, and you're welcome to stick around. Is there anything else that you wanted to put out or anything that, your book, you said you had, are both your, you said you had more than one book. Are they both published?
Yeah, actually, I have more than the two that I've mentioned. But, of course, if you go to the authordwilkinsgoodbooks.com, you'll be able to see all the slew of them that I've got going on or coming up. So that's your need for the website. So if you ever have any questions and you want to know where I'm at, then you definitely want to stop there first.
Okay. And also, your books are also available on Amazon and all that, right?
Yes, definitely. On Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you just Google Dominique Wilkins books, then you'll see everything come up.
And we won't see the basketball head on there nowhere, right?
Well, you shouldn't see him because he don't have a whole lot of books. He's bald.
He is not. Hey.
Well, I'm sure he ain't as cute as you either because he is, I ain't going to say he's ugly. I should be. But he is. Anyway.
Sweetie. I mean, Ms. Wilkins, self-help, whenever you introduce yourself, self-help guru, Dominique Wilkins, you know what I'm saying? Because it adds clout to who you already are and what you've already established in your writings. You know what I'm saying? And people, like I said, you add that title, it's like a doctor or, you know, MBA. It's kind of one of those titles that people pay attention to. So as long as you're doing what you're doing, you are a self-help guru because, you know, as far as that relationship aspect, you are an expert. You know more about that than all of us. So, you know, you are your brand. So if you're going to be your brand, you might as well, you know, put your name out there in lights.
Damn, man, something's wrong because I'm agreeing with your ass again. Damn. Anyway, yeah, he is right, though. You are the brand. The books aren't. So you have to make sure that people understand what it is you're bringing to the table, and that is what you're bringing. Even though you may have it in a fictional sense, it's still some knowledge that can be brought from that, and people can get some learning from it. So,
right,
I would definitely put that in front of there. So we thank you for coming on, and we're going to be talking to you some more here in the next hour. But right now, because we have like 12 poets, and I know they all got a poem a piece, maybe two. We're going to let them go ahead on and get their thing on. They sound sexy. And guys, don't take this wrong. I ain't gay. But y'all trying to get y'all shit sexy too. So
yeah.
Just want to let y'all know I ain't no faggot. But anyway, just want to let y'all know. And if there's anybody that's gay, listen, I'm sorry. I just want to let y'all go. And I guess we could start in the order that I announced y'all. If y'all remember that order, and I can tell you again with the different numbers. You know, we started with 757. Would you like to go ahead and kind of give us a little background of yourself right now? And there's two of you on there. Dang, I don't know which one. Okay, 403, first three.
Hi, I would be Nate Clarity.
Okay.
Hello.
Say your name again. What's your name again?
Clarity.
Clarity. Now, Clarity, you know you asking a question when you say that. I mean, how did you come up with that one? Because are you that clear? We get clarity in what you say? Is that what it is? Talk to me. Tell me.
Well, actually, interesting question. I give myself that name, actually, brother. I actually chose that for me, I should say.
I got really sorry for somebody chose it for me, too. But anyway, go ahead.
I can open in the question. It's pretty much sort of self-explanatory. The same token, I guess doing what I do through my art sort of leaves room to clarify, if you will, that meaning as well.
Oh, I like that. Okay, now, before we go any further, now, I know I told y'all this is explicit radio, and there will be cuss words coming out of my mouth. So hopefully I'm not offending nobody. I'm going to put that out there right now. If I am, I don't care. Okay, so go ahead. Now, do you have a poem for us, Miss Clarity, that you would like to share this evening?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Is it going to blow my mind? Because if it don't, then, you know, I don't even want you to say this shit if it ain't going to do nothing to me. It don't have to be sexual, though. It could be anything. It could be political, whatever you want to do. I just want to make sure that my mind is going to be intrigued. I got to be stimulated. My mind must be stimulated. You going to do that for me, Miss Clarity?
That's the intent. I personally believe I do that with anything that drops in my spirit that I use my
pen. Damn. She's bragging. Okay. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
All right. Seeing I don't necessarily know what topic you keep mentioning you're going to throw out on us later. So to the stage side right now, just simply sort of do an introductory piece dedicated, of course, to all my fellow poets and my first poetic fam that is on the line with us right now. I will do this one appropriately titled Why They Rhyme.
Okay.
Sometimes I rhyme when I write. Sometimes I want my words to sound alike. Sometimes I hear other artists and become unaware of the way that I listen and the way that I say it. It's not to compare, but to create and to share, because this is our art. This is expression. This is our life and our freedom from oppression. Or is it opinion? Because it seems as though everybody has one every now and again, but as for me, nah, I just get in where I fit in, try to wrap these sounds like a turban and make these vowels transcend the ghetto and urban, go beyond the veil and remove the curtain, verbally change despair into clarity, mentally change your hope into reality. We might snatch tables, perhaps the grammar and English lit, while choking, dying, trying to swallow all of it. We might process the flavor and dodge the truth. We might spit it on paper or maybe the booth. Master the lyrical wordplay inspired by the silent pauses and what they say. I'm drawn to the commas, the spices, and periods. I'm drawn to exclamation and parentheses for the emphasis on the serious. We are drawn to each piece instead of confusion. I'm drawn to questions before their conclusion. We are artistic motivation, linguistic fascination. Brothers and sisters that bring forth quality, because we're not defined in the long or the short, but in our quantity. It's our heritage, our oral tradition, like Big Mama and her humming in the kitchen, with her thick salad and collard greens, butter biscuits, and black eyed peas. The double XL, the source of vibe, the very substance keeping you alive. It's assurance to us poets and confidence to know it. Soul fighters and soul writers and soul fighters and soul ciphers on fire when they spark. Inspiredly, they mark or stain. Release these flows like rain, release these flows like pain, and feeling bold in this space and time. And feeling bold in this atmosphere to shine, and feeling bold in this space and time to find the reason why they rhyme.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's your piece.
Come on,
Seth.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's your piece. Okay, now, before we go any further, let's clarify, since you with Miss Clarity and all the rest of the poets here, are y'all doing spoken word or is this poetry? Because you know there's a difference between the two. So what do y'all classify this? That you are.
I speak the truth, point blank, period.
Holla. Say it again, Untamed.
I speak the truth, point blank, period. I don't do poetry. I don't do spoken word. I speak the truth and just hope that you feel me. That's what it is.
What's good, okay. Real?
That's what I'm talking about.
Y'all already know how I do.
Okay, I like how you got serious there. You got real, real serious. I like it. As if you was trying to get at me. I don't know what the fuck you mean by that, but anyway, okay, I got you. I believe you. Okay. But I'm not the enemy here. We on the show. I mean, damn.
I just
hope you feel like that. Okay, go ahead. Who wants to leave? Because the next order of business here, I think, is, and it's a 347 number starting with 272. State your name and let us know what you're going to do.
This is Anthony Pelletron.
Yeah.
Now, is somebody going to get mad? Is everything going to be militant and shit? Is everything going to be fight the power and all that? Is it going to be
I'll tell you what. How about you tell me what you want and I give it to you?
I want to get hot. That's what I want. You want to get me hard?
That's what you're looking for?
Yo, remember.
Okay.
Let me greet my
fellow authors and family, Untamed Talent.
Untamed.
To my family. The brother said he wanted to get hard.
I say let him remember.
Yes.
I say help him remember.
All right, so the piece I'm going to do is entitled Journey. And just you close your eyes and do not hit the mute button.
Okay. I
sat back last night and reminisced on the first time that we made love. I smiled as those memories flooded my mind, and I relived that journey. Oh, I remember. I remember looking into your eyes and comparing them to the land of Kemet New. You laid me across a blanket made of brown mud cloth. I reached my arms up and welcomed you to the motherland. You entered that Cairo and made your way to the Sahara Desert where the heat intensified even as you created oasis after oasis, making it as wet as the Amazon jungle. You climbed the high mountains of Kenya and dipped into the Rift Valleys. Your body spoke a language as smooth as the French that flows in Sierra Leone. Slowly you made your way to Mecca, moving skillfully around the pyramids of Giza, creating such excitement that the head of the Sphinx started spinning. Isis and Ra awoke from their mummified state and gazed in amazement as you broke the dam and allowed the River Nile to flow freely. You wrote hieroglyphics on my walls and then headed for more. I sat back last night and reminisced on the first time that we made love. I smiled as those memories flooded my mind, and I relived that journey. Oh, I remember. I remember looking into your eyes and comparing them to twinkling stars. You laid me across a blanket made of black velvet. I reached my arms up and welcomed you to the universe. You encircled my planet, recreating the rings around Saturn, conjuring delusions as dense as the bands of clouds on Uranus. You moved with the ease of the retrograde rotation of Pluto, I swear. I've seen as many as the 8 moons on Neptune when you touched my spot. Increasing my body temperature to the photosphere of the sun, I landed on Venus, struggling to breathe as you sailed through the Milky Way. You went so deep as if you were digging the canals on Mars, and the passion within me flowed like lava on Mercury. You reproduced nuclear reactions deep within the core of my existence. The explosions went off and I saw shooting stars and Halley's Comet. And it just caressed me as I descended to Earth. I sat back last night and reminisced on the first time that we made love. I smiled as those memories flooded my mind and I relived that journey. Oh, I remember. And now you get to remember. Thank you.
Woo!
Yeah, that was hot.
Right.
Go on with it.
Thank you.
What's up?
What do you think about that? You gonna say something, BB, or are you jacking your shit? What you doing?
You know me, man. I am when it like I'm a poetry retard. All right, I'll be honest. Because when it comes to poetry, like, I'm neither here nor there.
I hear you, man. That was hot, though, because we have some people that come on here that do poetry sometimes. And we're not here, first of all, before we even go any further, we're not here to criticize or do anything wrong to anyone. You know, but when people come on bragging, and we've had them come on here bragging, they can't bust shit. Okay, so that's why I have to bring it the way I do. There's nothing wrong with it. You brought it, sweetheart. Niggas' dick is tingling and shit now. Okay, so well, we have people that come on here and say, oh, you know, I'm hot and I'm this, and it'd be like a Harlequin romance.
Wow.
So we just, you know, y'all seem to have y'all team. Y'all sound like y'all trying to be like the Poonanny Poets or some shit. You know, I'm not never. Y'all bringing it on, you know, like that. So, you know, hey, I'm with you. And I thank you for that piece that you have given us. Now, the next poet, I think his area code is 917.
Yes, that would be me, All Flowing Big Mama from Untamed Talent.
Let's go. You
bring this thing. I'm sure there's a reason why you're called Big Mama.
Yeah, because I'm a plus size beauty, baby.
As long as it's curvy plus size, we don't care. You know,
trust me,
I
don't have big girl blues. I'm good with it.
Oh, we're all right with you. We know. We ain't like I said, we ain't upsetting nobody. But now, if the poem ain't good and I do the Batman sound, you know the shit ain't no good. So you ain't heard that yet. Not for a point. So we're not going to have that happen now, right, Big Mama?
Oh, please. I'll let you be the decide. Matter of fact, I'm gonna make it like this. What you want? Do you want conceit or do you want sensual?
You can give me whatever you feel, whatever you're feeling right now.
Okay, let's see. I wanna make love to you.
Do it, baby. Make love to my brain. Get my mind.
I want to make love to you, caress your inner being as I strip you naked and touch your soul with the gentleness you long for. Unlock your sensuality like no other has before. And I want to do it right now, right here. I want to make love to you on this stage. I want to have symbolic foreplay. Have my nouns, adjectives, and verbs heighten your senses. Have my preplex have you perplex as you slip into a trance of verbal ecstasy. See, I want to make love to you on this stage. I want to tongue kiss your mind with metaphors, caress your thoughts with cliches and similes, have my preposition position you for the ultimate gratification. See, I want to lyrically sex your minds without lubrication, prophylactics, or the pill. Have my inspirational eggs implanted in your brain and give birth with a pen and a paper. See, I want to make love to you on the stage. First at a slow pace to allow you to feel every movement of my verbs, using alterations and anaphors to hit that sweet spot between your ears over and over again until you can't help but pick up a pen. See, forget Usher and Beyonce's fucking in a club. I want to make love to you on this stage. Want to use this stage as our bed, lay you down and get all in your head. Have you stick your mental so deep in the crevices of my thoughts, you masturbate my mind until you're drenched in my creative juices, until we are one idea. Have our sentences create paragraphs that create books of divine pleasure. So, baby, please allow me to make love to you right here, right now, on this stage.
Yeah.
All right.
Unseen. So, do I get the thumbs?
You didn't play the sounder, so I guess you okay, baby. You didn't hear the sounder, so you must have made love to my mind. We appreciate that. Now, we have another 347 number. It's 972.
Yes, sir. Ready? Yes, sir. What's going on? It's the real Untamed Talent.
Untamed?
Since everybody's doing nasty, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go somewhere else because I know that they're going to do some more nasty. So let me see. Nah, fuck it. I'm going to go nasty. I'm lying. Here we go.
Do it.
as I look in your eyes, my mind begins to race because I begin to play around with the idea of how you might taste. And like most good things, I know it comes in stages, so sit back and enjoy the story that ends with a smile on both of our faces. Now, I know in order to please a woman takes a little bit of time because you can't just please the body. You got to also please the mind. So let's see, where should I start? With your body on some satin sheets and your legs spread wide apart? Nah, I think to start like that to me would be a diss. So I think the best way to start would be with a nice, soft, sensuous kiss. And as our lips begin to meet, my hands start to greet parts of your body. I swear to God, this shit is feeling so good, I want to run outside and tell everybody. Damn, Ma, you got me so hard, it's starting to hurt. I don't know what you brought that bag for, because it's not like you're going to work. Because, see, what you're about to receive is long overdue, so lay back and relax, because I'm here to please you. Now, as she lays back on those satin sheets, I take a step back and look at the beauty that God has created. But, see, now, it's time to throw it down. So let's get this motherfucker situated. I started with your left nipple because you told me that that was your spot. But I can't help but notice that your other spot is getting wetter and wetter and more hot. With each kiss, each lick, each gentle bite brings forth moans and groans that let me know I'm doing this shit just right. So what's next? I think you know, especially being that my head is now headed down below. Whew. And as I part those lips with my thumbs, I tease that clit with the tip of my tongue, giving it circles, licks, and kisses here and there. If you like the way I'm putting it down, then somebody please give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And as you reach that orgasmic peak, I mean the point where it's feeling so good that you can't even speak, I tongue kiss your clit like it's your mouth and shit, making you come so hard that you shiver. I told you, any promise I make, I motherfucking deliver. Well, it's the end of this show because you got to go, but I want you to know one thing. It's not just the tongue that gets the job done because the dick game is just as mean. So the next time you can get away from your man, maybe I'll ride that ass till the morn. But until then, here's a comb, Ma. Fix your hair and don't forget to put your ring back on. I'm done.
Wait, close the door.
Who brought that shit? I ain't going in the middle, though. I mean, smooth and shit. I think, and I'm not trying to tell you how to do it because I ain't a poet, but I'm just saying, you got so excited there in the middle. You know, it was just, you know. But you didn't get the sounder, so you must be all right then, brother.
What do you say? What happened?
Nothing, man. See, you just was a little fast, but it's okay. I didn't want
That's
you to be
right,
like a predatory ejaculation.
I'm not worried about it because I do it on stage. This phone stuff right here, I do it on stage. Come to the show, you'll see what it's really like.
That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why I'm not bogging you because I'm not a poet. I'm not a poet. It's just that you know how to deliver your own poem, right? So who am I to tell you? You just got a little quick on me. I'm good.
All righty.
So, the next number, I guess, would be, that was 217, right? So the next one would be a 471. That's the area code 347.
Crisis 211, 217?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to listen. It's Tony Christ. Just listen.
Christ is.
You
ready to throw down, brother?
No, I'm black, man. I just want to listen.
Oh, you listening?
Yeah, I'm just listening, doing the knowledge.
All right,
come on,
okay,
Christ. Come on, Christ. Hit him with that. Who going to tell the president? Come on, Christ. Hit him with the who going to tell the president.
So we got another. We got three more numbers here. I don't know if these are listeners. I'm going to see if they are or if they're someone else that could be. Because I don't know how many of you are going to be here this evening, but there's another 757 number. It starts with 392. Are you a listener or are you contributor? Are you a listener? Okay, they must be listening. How about 718? You a listener or a contributor?
Is that 718?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Is that 718-909?
Yeah, that's right.
That would be Miss Sin Untamed. What's up, y'all?
Untamed.
I'm not contributing, but I'm definitely listening and supporting my team right now. Love y'all.
Okay.
Love you too, Sin.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're a lady and you heard the gentleman, did that last one get you kind of like stirred up, or did it work for you?
What? That is one of my favorites. Listen, let's not
that
even go there. When I could kiss your push, like it's so awesome and shit. Listen, here.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. You still talking hiccups and shit. Okay. All right. All right. Well, so you just listening, right?
Yes, I am. I'm listening.
Okay, we appreciate you. Okay, how about 507 area code? Are you a listener or are you a contributor? Can you say that again? You listening? Hello?
Okay.
I hear you. Are you a contributor or a listener?
I'm a contributor.
Okay. Are you there? What is your name? What is your name, brother?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's your name, brother?
Yes, I'm Leroy the Real Boy at heart.
Hey.
What's happening? I'm the landline.
Okay. Okay, so are you part of the group?
Am I part of what group?
Okay, you ain't part of the group. You don't know what I'm
talking about. Word artist, sure.
I mean, are you part of the group of poets that's here tonight that's being interviewed?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not part of what's on canvas.
Okay, so you're just a listener then.
Pardon me? Well, yes,
you're
then I guess.
You're not a contributor because you're not part of the group. Unless the poets want to hear what you got, I'm going to give them that opportunity to answer that. Y'all want to hear what your poet has to say?
I mean, why not? Poet, you called in, why not?
What's up? I mean, you know, we have people that call in and listen all the time. So, I mean, since it's your time, I'm going to ask him, you guys, do y'all want to hear what he has to say?
Yeah, let me hear what he got.
Yeah, let's go, poet.
All right, brother, from Utah, right? You say you're from Utah?
No, I'm from Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay, so go ahead. You have a poem for us?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, you need to speak up. We can't hear you, brother.
Word. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to call you back from the landline. This cell phone is acting crazy.
Okay, well, when you call back, we'll let you get
it'll in. It'll be a 507 exchange.
Okay,
all right, appreciate that.
Okay, now, poet, now that y'all have stimulated the minds here of people and everything and the people that's calling in, we want to let them know if they want to call in and have any questions. The number is 347-215-8539. This is World Subject Radio, and this is Grown Folks Radio. If you didn't know that, you should know it by now, because all this shit we've been talking, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't getting bleeped. Okay. All right, so, now, is my girl still here? Let me see if she's still here. I don't see her number anymore, so she must be gone. I was looking for Dominique to comment, but she's here. So, now, do you guys go around and actually tour the country? All the tours. Anybody want to answer? Somebody take the lead.
We haven't actually toured the country yet, but we're working on getting out more places and getting our words out to more venues outside of New York.
Okay. So let me ask you, since you're going to start doing that, how did you guys come together? And y'all did an anthology together, right?
Yeah.
How did you guys come together? How did y'all do the anthology? Did y'all actually meet each other, or did y'all actually do back and forth electronically, or how did that come about?
Can I take the lead on this one? Before we go any further, I want to shout out one member of the book that's not on the line right now, Distinguished. Shout out to Distinguished. He's at rehearsal for his Broadway show, which opens up the 21st. For most of us that's in the book, we were already doing what we do, and you got people like Christ, Empress, AF, they've been doing it for years. And the brother KL, he just decided, you know what, let's see what it looked like if we put all of the work together in the same book. And, wow, if I say myself, it's a great read, definitely.
Yeah.
So my question is,
is how did you all find each other? I mean, we all know that you're in the same basic genre. You know, this is what you do and this is your passion. But how did you come about finding each other? Who took the lead? You know what I'm saying?
I think the mic took the lead because it's what drew us all together. Like, you know, each one of our lives is totally different than the next. But somehow or another,
I think it also had to do with we're not just poets, so we came together under a need to want to get more out of just doing poetry. Just, you know, like I said, like Real said, I'm AF, they all flowing. I've been doing this for like 12 years, going on 13 now. I started in colleges. I started doing groups with other poets to get them on stage. I started going into public school systems, but as me by myself, I was hitting small junkers. I was going to small places. I wasn't doing a lot of traveling because I had to do other things as well, and I wasn't making as much of a point as I would have wanted. And when I linked up with Untamed Talent, I had more people who wanted to do the same thing that I wanted to do, which was give a community feel to poetry, not just have my words be like an entertainment. I'm not a comedian. I'm not an actor. When I speak, I'm giving you a message that either you're going to take and feel and move with, or you're just going to, you know, understand where I'm coming from. So, you know, when we got together, it was like, wow, okay, we can do more than just be poets, and that's what we are. We're more than just poets.
Oh, if I could just jump in, this is Empress Poetry. To answer the question from my point of view, I have to agree with Real when you said the mic made the call. As everyone has expressed already, we all started out individually doing our thing. It was a collective need to use poetry to reach the masses that led us to each other. And that's what we've been doing. I'm no longer a member of the group, but I've continued the work that I started with Untamed Talent. Untamed Talent has always been able to reach the youth, the broken, the sick. They use their poetry to do what I believe poetry is supposed to do, and that's deliver a message. Now, me personally, I'm more intricately involved in our anti-domestic violence initiative, using poetry to go into shelters and mentor broken women, and now I find myself also talking to abusers as well. So poetry, we've discovered on this mission that poetry can take us into places and we can be a unhealthy asset to unhealthy situations in the community. So that's what we've been doing, both collectively and individually.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And I think we all have something good here, so.
Can I jump in also on that?
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Clarity again. First of all, I was going to say, hey, family, I just got to get that out. Y'all don't understand. I feel like Lone Ranger a lot with this thing. That is, anybody who keeps up on my Facebook knows, or just my conversations at venues or what have you, that is what I refer to as my first poetic fam. Every last one of them, Untamed, Outside Untamed, the whole bit. Those are the love that I received and how I was embraced by each and every one of those members. How we met, as Brother Real said, through the mic, is just, I get emotional a lot. They are just beautiful, beautiful people outside of, they live their words. That's all I have to say. And I am originally from New York, as I said. I'm down in VA. I've been here for a better part of about 15 years since I went off to college. Shout out to Norfolk State University. But after being in this area, traveling back home a lot, I love just being in the environment of these artists. I say artists more than poets because that's exactly what they are. They create art, imagery, and things they bring off the stage, actually, in their words. These people are activists in various genres of what they do. I personally was drawn to them through finding other avenues, my own medium, through being an educator by trade, is what I do. And definitely lots of things and outlets to reach young people, single mothers, young adults, that whole bit, through that format of art. Now, I actually do not get to go home as often as I would like. However, the anti-domestic violence event that Sister Empress mentioned a moment ago, I do plan on traveling to actually attend her event, actually, along with some of the members from Untamed. I'm looking forward to that next month. I also participate in those in this area where I am in Virginia, but also in Maryland area actually shows me lots of love, and Philly as well. I'll be traveling to Baltimore. I don't have the exact date, but upcoming shows next month. And I'm also, this weekend, be a part of another event, which is another just interest of mine, just women's causes. That is me naturally, what I am. So first and foremost, other than youth, just things that pertain to women speak to me. And I just feel like whatever I can do to lend my voice to that format, that is what I do. And so a very lovely annual event will be going on at Hampton University this Saturday, Curls for a Cause. More than just about natural hair and all that whole bit, is way bigger than that. And I'm looking forward to lending my talents there along with some very other phenomenal artists that will be there too.
So how did you guys get the anthology? How did KO approach you guys? How did all that come about?
Well, I think he hollered at me about it. He said he had an idea for a book, and he asked me, he said, do you got 10 poems that you can contribute? And that was it.
He's actually also seen every last one of us perform.
I guess my question is, 10 poets, not one poet to do 10 poems? I'm just wondering, how did you guys decide to do it that way?
Well, if I could just answer the question. KL and I, this is Empress again. KL and I hosted a radio show together, and I was already, at that time, I was a member of Untamed Talent. I had signed on to Brazen Publishing as their first poetic female. For the most part, where I go, I take my family. So doing the time of the talk show, several members of Untamed Talent came on the show as guests. And then he also came to several of the shows that I was doing, because one thing out there about Brazen Publishing, they support their authors. So whenever I would be doing shows, he would come out, so he got the opportunity to hear from the other artists in the book. Pretty much the whole book, with the exception, technically everyone in the book is pretty much, we've all stood on one stage at some time. Mm-hmm. So all of the artists, basically it goes back to what Real said. So Mike made the call and we just came together, but the brother KL, he picked some from what he liked. And
he's your publisher, right? Mm-hmm. He's a publisher, or he's
yes.
What you guys are doing.
He's a publisher, okay, as well as one of the authors of the book.
One of the
authors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Like, as far as the poems are concerned, and the words that you've written in the book, are they separated into something like genres or styles or subject matter, or by artists?
By artists.
By artists.
Okay.
By artists.
So
you have a mixture of different things, but it's all generated so that if the book was to have to go into public schools, that it wouldn't cause any kind of uprise with the words that are in the book. I can actually say that a majority of the poems, if not all of the poems, are inspirational, motivational, or just out and out moving.
Okay, so
not just saying that because I'm one of the poets in there. But
can you say the name of the book so that the audience that's listening, they know the name and title and everything? And what are you guys, is all your names separately on there? Are you as a group?
We're separately.
Everyone is separate pens on the book. The book is entitled Wordplay, Our Words for Our Canvas.
Disaster Response Team in New Jersey.
And each poet has their name individually written on a pen in the front of the book. It's a beautiful canvas book.
I was hoping I would have a book before the interview, but that didn't happen. So I guess your publisher, he fell on that one. And get with him. I think that you guys have something good here. Like I said, you can take this in any direction. I'm sure you wanted to, and as far as that.
But I like to answer that. I forget who it was, the gentleman who said that you're not a spoken word artist or you're not a poet. You just want to get a message out. You know, I like that because, you
we're
know,
we're not
a lot
just
of times,
poets, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we speak the truth.
Be a part of the group. We're not just poets. But, yeah, you know, I'm just saying. But anyway, the thing is, you know, you got all these people that do certain things, and some of these spoken word artists, and I'm not trying to dog your genre of writing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they're singing and stuff, and they're, like, trying to make sure that they, you know, like, and all this, you know. I mean, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. I just want to
get
the words
out. It's
white.
You can say it. It's
so, white.
So, it's white. You can say it.
Yeah, it's fucked up. But anyway, I just want to hear what's really going on. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's gotten to a point that we do understand that a lot of poets that are coming onto the scene are trying to get recognized and are trying to get famous. And I hate to say it like that. They think that they're going to get rich off of the poetry, so they try to make it sound as much as, you know, a rap or, you know. But when you really find a poet, you're going to find the message. You're going to find what they're saying. You're going to be able to relate to the words, even if it's not a situation that you're going through, but you're going to be able to feel it through the words.
But, you know, in all honesty, I'm going to be honest with y'all. The thing I appreciate most about each and every one of y'all is y'all believe in a cause other than, you know, just going out there and reciting your words. You know, you fall on, you know, abusive women. You go to kids in schools, and in all honesty, you know, that type of motivation speaks volumes to the type of people that you are. You know, so, I mean, I really, you know, if no one says it, you know, I kind of really appreciate that about y'all. You know, one of the ladies said she was an educator. So, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due, because even if you guys weren't together, these are things that you'd still be doing. You know,
yeah.
And like I said, in all this, that's the most, you know, that's the thing that overwhelms me more than anything.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a lot coming from DB, because his ass don't like DB. I'm going to tell you like that. He don't get into it. It don't get him hard. It don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's just words, you know. Now, he's an erotic fiction author as well. So, you know, he does his in a different manner as well as I. But, you know, like I said, we have poets that come on the show, and a lot of times they come on and they do the twang or whatever, and then you have some that's serious like you guys that really want to get the word out there, a message in what they're writing, and also give it some entertainment to it as well, but not overdone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you can overdo the shit. You can really like my pussy, you know, that. you know, kind of course, not Poo Nanny Poet, but, you know, they're famous for that. Which is fine.
See, and that was the problem, is because that was the problem. People saw Poonani poets, or they saw deaf poetry, and they thought that that's what poetry was. And now all of a sudden, they want to run out and talk like this and say
and
things.
Snap
no
fingers.
Way.
Don't forget, snap fingers.
Oh,
snap
all right.
And the sun will shine.
Yeah, come on, like, that's not poetry, especially when you got people who got real life stories, and they getting on stage and they bearing their souls, and like, nah, man, give me something I can feel.
And one of the things that, like, one of the programs and processes that we like to try and our mentoring is that writing is healing. So, you know, we teach that through your poetry, you are going to be mended, and you could be able to get things that you have been holding inside out. And not all poetry rhymes, not all poetry is rhythmic, and not all poetry is to be shared, you know, but at the same accord, you know. We're teaching that, you know, it's an outlet, that it's a necessity, you know, whether it be for our teens that have low self-esteem, or our domestic women that are in violent relationships, or child abuse victims, or whatever the case may be, because in our group, we encounter all of these things. We've done benefits for ACS. We've done things for, you know, domestic violence, for COPD. You know, we're not just out there saying, okay, well, we want to spit. And a lot of the things that we do are community-based. We are not getting paid for it. We're out there just making sure that the words are out there, that we are providing a service that is well-needed and very underwell paid. Well, you ever heard of starving artists? Well, it's really starving poets.
You know, I like that because, you know, I think that, you know, and I write, I have 12 novels out. And I write because I love writing. I love writing. You know, yeah, I want the money, but the money is not the reason why I write. And a lot of times people are going to get rich, you know, by putting the book out there and it's just going to fall off the shelves and people just going to love it and shit. That happens every now and then, but it's not the way it is. That's not the way it works. You got to hustle and get it out there. That's why when DB said, you are the brand, you are the brand. Because people are going to remember you. That's what you want them to remember. Even though you want them to remember your poetry or your books or whatever, you have to sell yourself. So what we're going to do right now is, because we only got like 49 minutes left, DB, what is the subject matter that you have for us to see?
Oh, man. I cleared this with you. I almost feel bad talking about
it.
But
what's the subject? I want y'all to get into this. Okay, what is it? What
like, basically, what me and Red sometimes like to do is we like to pick people's brains, and we'll pick, you know, some topic. It'd be relationship-based, politics-based, or even just, you know, the status of, you know, what we do, books, poetry, whatever black people do, and we'll comment on that. So tonight, you know, basically what me and Red did was settle down pro and con on the miseducation of black women. And
wow.
Right. But I kind of, you know, want to set the parameters, all right? Because I don't want to seem like I'm hostile, because I'm not. But basically, he has to be pro. I got to be con. You know, so I was like, well, shit, I got to be me. So, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
The job of you guys is going to be this. You choose whatever side you want to be on. It doesn't matter. It just so happens that we got 11 other people besides us on the damn show tonight, which is not normal.
Right, and it's many people.
Dominique is back on. He's here, and we're going to do this. So,
basically, this is the proposal, all right? Now, I've always stated in the past that when I grew up, people were fervently reinforced the belief that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach. So in turn, we basically had a vast majority of women who knew how to hold down the kitchen. Mm. Now, it didn't matter if she was professional, a housewife, or a convict. You know, they all knew how to cook. The only ones who didn't know were either ostracized or too rich to really care about it. Nowadays, a great deal of our women don't really know a damn thing about holding a house together. Cooking, cleaning, washing, sewing, dusting are all lost arts and been replaced by women who solemnly believe the best way to a man's heart is through a zipper.
Amen. So
they fight other women, you know, for dick that some guy's slinging to the entire community and think that shit is the end-all and be-all of relationships. Ultimately, where's the self-respect? Then when people look at them and stereotype them as bitchy, angry, argumentative, bossy, and promiscuous, women yell to high heavens how they're being pigeonholed and typecast, and then they turn around and have the audacity to support the TV shows that do it, that, you know, show the exact same stereotypes.
I wish I knew this topic before I spit. Damn!
And ultimately, this, I blame us. You know, the I'm bad by myself, the men ain't shit, I'm INDPNDNT women. I said somehow, somewhere, women forgot that they already had all the damn power and felt the need to ram it in our collective faces. Quiet as it's kept, real women who know don't have to announce it. So ultimately what I'm saying is this. If this generation of women don't start turning off the TV and start ramping on the actual parenting, then the problems these girls face won't be anything compared to the fall from grace that we're heading. So, I mean, that was what I really wanted to talk about.
I want to hear what y'all have to say. And we're going to start with Dominique.
I wanted to hear what the con was.
Huh?
What was the con?
Well, mine is con. Mine is the things that I feel that are going wrong.
Okay.
And ultimately, how I perceive things going on with us and to basically put a voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of women, like I said, who will stand up and defend, all the idiocy. They'll tell you, like, look, you know, that's not me, that's not what I represent. And then they'll turn around and watch, you know, something like Housewives of Atlanta, which basically perpetrates the exact same thing, and all they want to do is talk about how great the show is.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be that person, but you would damn sure support that person. So, I mean, which is it?
I just had this conversation like 4 days ago. We were talking about Wendy Williams with it because, oh, God. Wow. But I totally agree. Like, the way these girls are growing up now, I don't know about anybody else, but around where I'm at, Brownsville, Brooklyn, these girls is growing up, they calling each other stud. Like, are you serious? You calling another female son? It's like they're losing all the essence of a woman. I don't know what's
right.
going on. I see more basketball shorts than I see skirts, and it's not cool. Like, I got a 13-year-old daughter, and every once in a while I got to remind her, listen, you're not going to be one of these birds. You're going to be a lady. Like,
right.
For real. For real.
I mean, but let's be honest. I see women with tattoos from their shoulder down to they wrist. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, well, I'm still a woman. Well, it's all about perception.
And that's what I'm glad you said that.
So what happens
when
you get old and shit, man? Your curves are gone. You got all this ink on you. What happens then?
I agree with you when you say perception.
You know what I'm saying? That's going to be some fucked up shit, right?
Stupid. Like I said, I agree with you when you say it's about perception. And unfortunately, what happened is that you have a lot of these young girls are perceiving that doing the things that they're doing is going to make them happy or some kind of better woman, or, you know, they have to settle for less than what they are supposed to get. And unfortunately, that goes to back to what you're saying, like parenting. If these mothers are not going to put their efforts into making sure that they're raising young ladies as well as these fathers to help make sure that these young ladies are going the right way, then we're going to have a problem.
But the problem,
I think we already got it,
the problem already started from...
If I can jump in, I'm the mother of a 16-year-old daughter, and I believe that in the village statement of each one, teach one. I firmly believe in that, and if we teach these young ladies how to be women, then
and have
they
pride
can't
in
be
themselves.
Anything other than that. The problem comes in where there was a generational break, and somewhere between my generation, which I damn sure am not going to tell you my age, but actually I'll be 39 in less than a month, and
oh,
I have
sweetie.
To be honest in saying that. Myself included, the reason that I'm so grounded on making sure that I at least leave a path for my daughter and her friends is simply because of the fact that my mother set an example. But then the young ladies between, I'm going to be fair and say between 35, because I've seen some 35-year-olds going through crazy stuff, and 25, they've really had no leadership. We, you know, and I'm not from America, I migrated here. So I had the blessing to see, I'm originally from Barbados, little tiny beautiful paradise in the Eastern Caribbean. But, you know, I've been blessed with the opportunity to be raised in one community and then become a woman, grow into a woman in a totally different environment. And if I can go based on my experience, leadership got lost. And I can say, I can blame the man, I can blame everyone, but the truth is once we stop doing what we're supposed to do at home, we can't expect anyone to come back and fix it. The sister AF just mentioned it. The first you mentioned mothers and my antennas went up, but she cleaned it up. Family, we need to come together. Parents need to take this responsibility
it's
as parents.
It's so funny.
More
than
it just being that,
now.
Oh, I birthed or feeded a kid.
Yeah, it's so funny because back in the day.
The evolution of a message that was sent years ago from the very first mindset of I don't need a man. Because they're losing that being feminine because the simple fact it looks like in order to make it in life you gotta be masculine.
Let me finish.
Okay. So like there's some out here who understand the essence of being a woman and you know, they're not They're not high heels every day, but they're still a woman. But then you got some females out here that you can look and tell that if you put them in a skirt, they'll feel like a hooker in church, straight out of place. And it's bad. And it's bad because in that, then you got guys who are already conditioned to grow up without any type of emotion. So now you got two people with no emotion going on in the world. It's crazy.
And them people don't know how to relate. So it's nothing but madness and anger. You know,
y'all,
and that's all it's going to do
is
perpetuate the madness and the anger.
Listen, I'm not making an excuse for the anger, but I'm going to say this. From what I've been doing and from my experience with talking to women generally, we are tired of having to do a double shift, but we can't leave
the kids
sitting
out. Oh, no, women definitely have the right to be angry.
What some people consider is anger and bitterness is really just fatigue. That's basically what it is. At some point in time, she wants to just lay down and not have to think about having to be the only one to provide, to be there, to do it all. So
it will manifest into that when they come across someone who's willing to, they push them away because they're so conditioned. Like, I always say women have a right to be mad, but yo, just because I wear the same size shirt as the dude who did you wrong before, ma, that's not me. Give me an honest chance.
Let's make sure we give everybody a chance to speak. Let's not talk over everyone, okay? So let's try to, you know, let them say what they have to say and we do that way.
Sorry.
You know, they wanna be
sorry. I'm just emotional, sorry.
Yeah. Further, though, there's another number. I don't know if this is someone who has an audience member that might want to chime in. The area code is 347. We got a lot of 347s calling in, and the first part is 645. That's all I'm going to say. Do you have a question?
Peace and blessings. I'm from Ali Hotel from Brooklyn.
Okay, do you have a question?
Oh.
Are you just listening, or do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. Like, I'm a single guy in Brooklyn, and it's hard to, and sometimes I have a lot of female friends, you know, online, that kind of thing. But it's sometimes hard to find the right ones, like just get to know or just be set aside with anything. It's just so hard and everything because many women, I'm not gonna turn down anyone. I'm not gonna put anyone in the spot. But many women just want like expectations from a man, and it's like he's healthy or something like that. You know, he's good looking and everything.
What is your question? Did I miss it? Did y'all get it?
I'm on Atlantic Avenue.
You want to do what? Did y'all hear his question?
No.
Okay, well, we thank you for your comment, brother.
Okay.
All right, do you have a question?
I think he had a statement. It was more like a statement.
It was a statement, bro. Thank you. That's all right. You don't have to think about it. We thank you very much for that. Okay, so what are y'all thoughts on that? Because I didn't get it. What are y'all thoughts on that?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm almost quite sure that I think that he was trying to say is that a lot of females are putting an emphasis on good looks and other attributes rather than giving a brother a chance at just himself. If that's what I'm
Let me say this real quick because I know y'all going to jump all over me. My thing is I kind of agree with what you just said. A lot of times women don't give a chance. And I understand that women, and I'm going to go with mostly women in our culture.
I'm sorry, this is the house one. Don't have a mute button. I do apologize. They just walked in.
Okay, what I was going to say was, a lot of times men don't get a chance because they always get blamed for what the last guy did. But what gets me is this. Women have a guy that's good, okay? I understand they might get a guy that have baggage. Everybody has baggage. They might get a man who comes in after the guy that dogged them real bad. And they always say that they want a good man. They want a man that has these certain attributes and things that he's going to do. And then when they get one that has all these things that they're looking for, they run from them. Because
they're broken. I want to say that goes both ways. I want to say that goes both ways. I would refuse to say that just to men. I believe men do the same thing.
We're not talking about men. I didn't want to overflow into that tank. We're talking specifically about women. So there's no finger pointing on men what men do. It's about how to make women better.
Okay.
No,
I'm not
going
to jump all over you, but I'm going to say this. As a woman who's been there, it takes healing in order for you to move forward. I, from experience, have learned that it's not a smart thing to go from one relationship and try to heal yourself by falling into another. And unfortunately, for those good men that form relationships with broken women, they get the raw end of the stick for what the other person has done before. And like I said, it comes from me being there and having done that I know now that my best option, let me just say that because I'm no guru, so I'm just going to say my best option was simply to heal myself or find a way for me to heal first before I go into a relationship, because if I'm not healthy, then how can I expect a healthy relationship?
Okay.
And that's true.
I can deal with that. And I guess, I don't know how, like I said, I don't know the ages of everybody. Mm-hmm. But I would assume that I'm the oldest one here. Because I am in my 50s. So I assume everybody else is younger than me.
Woo-wee. Yes, sir.
Like, you win.
The point that I believe is, it doesn't matter about the age. But one thing I can say is that the older you get, the more baggage is going to be hard, some kind of way, whether it's something you went through or something you had or whatever. So why is it that, okay, and I get what you just said a few minutes ago, and I don't know who it was, but the young lady just said that you don't need to go in another relationship with baggage. Okay, I got that. Okay, so you got to make sure that you kind of heal from whatever it was that you went through. But a lot of times, like I said, you might think that you healed and you think that you're at that point, and you may be. But it's just like sometimes the things that women say they're looking for, they get this in their face, and then they get mad at you and dog you because you're not doing what the damn last dude did to you. I mean, it just fucks me up because I'm just trying to figure out, well, damn, you said you wanted a man that was good at it, and you'd be chilling with it. And they'll tell you, they'll run from you because you ain't this, you ain't doing that. And it's the same shit that you was used to that you said you didn't want them.
That doesn't sound very pro, Red.
That's a
what? Huh? That doesn't sound very pro. It sounds very kind.
I can't help you in this one, man. I'm trying to do it. But anyway, go ahead.
No, you good.
So anybody want to comment on that?
Hi, this is Clary. Okay, I've still been kind of holding my peace at the same time, enjoying what my fam is saying, because much of it I agree with. I can say I do have children, however, some of my students would beg to differ when I say that, because they do refer to me as such. The reality is I do not take them home, though I am very invested in their lives, more than just in the classroom. But with that said, I actually run the gamut and do stuff with teens as well. And those that I personally mentor and spend my time with and whatnot, I want to say that's a two-faced issue, because I've heard a few of my sisters chime in and say, I believe AF and Empress said that can go both ways, what we're talking on. Something I tell my young people a lot, especially looking at young people, like anything in life, certain things just don't, occur as is, just pop up, and that's it. A lot of things are byproducts of something. Various things had to pour into whatever what we're simply looking at as the end result, made it. Stoning right, wrong, various things. I'm just offering different things make they are. I mean, the pressures, okay, speaking from point of view as a woman, in this day and age, there is so much that, to keep the theme here, I guess, of the hardness of how some of us look, or anger, if you will, there's so many various factors there that aren't always just the female dynamic, but there's a lot even among one another. I want to just briefly say something on myself, a little brief, a personal story. I know there's a lot with the way you mentioned the word perception earlier.
Yeah.
I, on a regular basis, or indirect, from a lot of, my sisters, I'm just going to say now, it's not necessarily always from anything I'm throwing off, giving off, or what have you. Personally, truth be told, I don't believe I give off anything of that nature. From those that know me, know I'm very overly, actually, friendly and loving person when I embrace somebody and take them in. But going back to the point, there's just a lot on with that perception piece, that just as someone, oh, okay, you're not rocking with whatever this particular thing is and doing this thing this way, saying this like this, living this way because this was accepted and that master field thing, it's like automatically something comes at you as if, you know, brother one, you know, put on the defense. So all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Like people, I'm just a person, I deal with that a lot with women. That's what I'm going to say. Particularly, I'm going to keep it real since this is on radio with my sisters, and I mean sister with the T-A, and that's C-E-R, because of my whole natural, earthy, whatever you want to call it, look that people stigmatize me with. I've dealt with that personally, socially, even work situations. You know, with that among people, that whole thing. We love to say that whole thing of, okay, if I strive and do this, it's so that I reach back and give back, you know, get you and bring you along. I'm honestly going to say I've had it in my experience, and quote-unquote power that I have been blessed to meet or come across, and then try to be a part of their causes or help in some sort, whether it's work-related or whatever. I actually got the opposite. You know, I got looked down with the, oh, why, you know, I look like this, why is she about this thing, and you do this different from what I do, and, you know, support just kind of dwindles. So you have a lot of factors. That's what I wanted to say, a factor, and it's not always just, you know, I, you know, brothers and a man thing, but there's so many dynamics that today's woman is taking on with, you know, among our own, and to go back what Empress said, that healing piece is just very critical. Just getting in tune with whom you are with self and healing that place in you, really, it's a lot of matter. That's just how I feel.
Like, I'm going to put something.
Yeah, the healing is what you, I'm trying to be pro. Okay, yeah.
Somebody.
You're right.
And I'm not just saying this.
Really,
hey, Red. Red. What's wrong with your phone, man? Like, I hear you echo, and I can't really hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. All right, now, the thing that I'm trying to say is what she said in that long answer was we only got like 20-something minutes, and I want to give y'all time to talk about how to get your books and all that. But I agree with what she's saying, but I also agree with both sides. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be pro and con with this, but I just get tired because from my experience, and I'm going to go ahead and hurry this up. And it works with us, not just men and not just women, but men as well. I think that, you know, when you go through something and you try to heal from whatever it is you went through, and then you find someone, you have to learn how to not make that person, you know, they may be doing some things that might have been like the other person. You know, I think communication is the main thing that needs to be done in all of this. Sometimes people just don't talk. They see something and they run because, okay, it's like it was. You know, I think in all relationships, that's got to be most important than anything else. You know, sex is great and all that. Sex dies. If you stay with somebody long enough, you ain't going to be fucking them no more. You need to have more than just sex. And communication and compromise is what's going to make it go. All right.
All right, like, I'm going to say something real quick, you know, and I've always been a firm believer that brevity is the soul of wit, so I'm not going to draw nothing out. But what I'm going to say is this. We've gotten into that place where everything is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You tell somebody something bad is going to happen, and when it happens, you know, they like, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. You tell people men ain't shit, men are dogs, men is this, and the first man that hurts their feelings, they carry that to the next person, and it's like a virus. When somebody catches it, it becomes something that they have and something that they believe wholeheartedly. I think the problem that we're really having is this. Ultimately, we're not teaching our young women any type of skills, any type of anything. We basically let them go out in the world and experience everything for themselves, and when they get the answers wrong, which and they inevitably will when they have no guidance or leadership, we kind of look at them like, well, shit is tough. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that at some point we need to get back to teaching them who they are, you know, and that includes history, that includes a foundation. Hell, if that means, you know, teaching her how to cook, clean, wash, sew, and then growing it from there, at least she has the basics on how to take care of herself. So if all the lights were to go out one day, these are the things that she would know how to do. She would survive, you know. And that's the thing that's most important. We've gotten to the point where without technology, we don't know what the hell we're doing. We don't know how to survive. I know girls who don't even know how to turn on a stove, you know, let alone make a fire. So, I mean, until we get back to those basics, until we start really instilling a sense of self-worth that you know how to do things because you know how to take care of yourself, that's fine, you know. But don't ever give somebody else the power that women inherently have. We all know women have the power because men ain't having sex without women. That's just real, at least not the good kind. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is this. What's up?
No, you're good, man.
But I'm going to end it with this. Until we get to that point where we're teaching them how to be young women again, well, young ladies instead of young women,
yes.
Then we're going to keep running into the same problems.
Well, you know, I think...
I was kind of added a twist to that with the kids that I'm working with because I've actually elevated it past young woman, past girl, and I have my young ladies referring to themselves as queen. I think
right.
It gives you a more sense of responsibility and entitlement when you really show them what their origin is. When you tell a person their value, when you can help a person see their value, then I think that they have more of an appreciation for themselves. At the end of the day, this argument, the answer is self-love. If the brother loves himself enough, then he'll know that the saint that he picked up is not the one that he really wants to be. If the sister loves herself enough, then even if she can't get out of a situation where he's beating her, there's more than enough support out there for her to be able to reach out. But at the end of the day, it's self-love and choice. You got to choose wisely the situations you put yourself into.
Yeah, you're not always going to make smart decisions, but at least you can walk away from them.
And I think that's where the break comes in, because if we're not focused on whether these kids are in school, if we're not going to fight for them to get the programs that they need in order for them to learn not just about themselves but about others, because it's a whole other thing to not know about what's out there when you're naive about what's out there. Then you're prey to pretty much anything.
Yes.
And I think that's what one of the biggest problems is, especially with our girls, is that they're naive. They just go off of, like you mentioned, what they see on reality TV. And they think that's what being a woman is, because she can pop open a Gucci bag or whomever else's name and throw champagne or call whomever, whatever, and get away with it. This is what we're allowing our kids to feed on. So if we're not going to give them something empowering, something of enrichment, something of nourishment for their spirits and for their souls and for their minds, then we can't expect them to produce anything other than fast food.
If that.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But that, again, it goes back looking at the product, what makes, going backwards, not seeing the end result, but what caused that. I mean, you know, I agree, sister said, but another thing, not again condoning at all, because I'm totally on the same platform she spoke on, but I lately have been sharing with people, you know, you somewhat, instead of like always being that finger, you know, to point to judge on another individual, you know, just try to be that whole hand, you know, extend it, help them. Because, again, first of all, agree with what you're saying. I do not watch any of those shows personally. I've shared my views on these things and et cetera. But at the end of the day, I also got to look at it like, we got to understand everything we've just stated, the world we're in and things that are going on at this point. There's something that triggered into each and every one of them that, for whatever reason or another, whether, you know, selfishness, gain, instant fame, money, whatever, but bottom line, where they felt like, you know what, yeah, this is cool. I need to go this avenue to do this and audition for this thing or put my life and my face and my kids on this show and, you know, whatever, and that's cool. And for me, it looks okay and acceptable. I'm going to go out and do that. Because, you know, it's a reason. So I basically want to leave with us. The reason people do things they do. I generally want to look for the good in folks and don't think anybody wakes up with the whole thing of, I'm going to just be, you know, crazy today, or I'm going to go out and just screw these folks today and, you know, these dudes, this, that, third. It's very circumstances that lead to end results we see with people, you know, why they are. It's not always about finger, but...
For me, I believe...
Let me jump in real quick, because we only got like 19 minutes left. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and end it there. But what I would like to do at this point, at this time, is I want to give Dominique a chance to go ahead and say how she can be reached and how you can get your books. And then I'm going to let you guys do the same thing. So go ahead, Dominique.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I was on mute. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, for me, my website, again, is the author, thewilkinsgoodbooks.com, and that's where you can go for all of my contact information and all my information and my books that are out and coming out. So that's where you want to go, author, thewilkinsgoodbooks.com.
What's the name of your latest book?
My latest one is Teresa in Wonderland.
Okay. All right. And we thank you for coming on the show. We don't want you to go yet. Just saying hey on for just a second. Okay, so the poets, the name of your group is called?
Oh, it's two people. All right, well, we're Untamed Talent.
Okay.
And
the name of your book is?
The name of our book is Wordplay. The words are our canvas, and you can get a copy of our book from www.weareuntamedtalent.com.
Okay.
And or at Raven Publishing.
You all are going to be hopefully touring together, and of course you'll be doing individual stuff as well.
Yes, Untamed has.
Well, let's straighten something out.
Yeah, we're not all in the same group.
Two, right. Both the sister Clarity and myself, and Noel are not Untamed Talent members. So in addition to getting the books at weareuntamedtalent.com, the books can be picked up at brazenpublishing.com on the publisher's website. And I guess, well, for me, I can be reached at empress.poetry1@gmail.com, and I'm also Empress Poetry on Facebook. That's where if anyone doesn't want to go to the publishing website, then hit me up on Facebook or on an email, and that's how you can get the book from me. And I also have my first book, Impressions of a Poet, Footnotes of My Journey. That was my first publication last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you, poets, would y'all be interested, is poetry all that you care to get in as far as the literary piece, or would you be interested in doing some fiction or something like that in the future, or is this as far as you want to go? Or is it all of y'all thinking about maybe having your own book or something at one point, or audio or something like that?
Oh, indeed.
Well, like I said, I've got my first poetry book, Impressions of a Poet, Footnotes of My Journey, came out last year. I'm currently working on a series of short stories when that one comes out, the proceeds are going to go to an organization I'm currently involved with. It's an anti-domestic violence initiative. So the proceeds from that book will go
that.
You can mention that unless they have a problem with you mentioning the organization. You can mention it on the show here.
Oh, no, they don't. They have a problem. I'm with Sabrina's House. We're a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. And basically what we do is we provide, we facilitate for women that are in domestic violence situations or have escaped from such. We also have services for women that might have been in prisons for nonviolent acts. Sabrina House provides temporary housing and other services, including education, and it's kind of like a gateway from that disaster to a better life, a healthier tomorrow.
So what about men? What about men that get domestic violence?
Sabrina's House caters to just the women. There's another organization that we're also associated with that they actually cater to abusers of all kinds. So it's domestic violence and substance abuse as well. So we actually have a fashion show coming up on September 22nd where the models of the fashion show are actually the women of Sabrina's House and residents of JCAT, which is the recovery program out in Queens, New York. That's going to be at PS48Q, quick plug. That's the William Wordsworth Public School in Queens.
Okay.
And we pretty much offer the opportunity for them to get pretty. We've got designers designing outfits for them to model. And it's pretty much just a get fresh day and they feel good. And we've been working with them. I've been doing poetry with them and writing exercises. So we've allowed them to use writing to bring themselves out more. So when they get on the stage on the 22nd, it won't just be, I look pretty, but I also feel pretty.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to, because I know that a lot of people don't talk about men getting abused. I guess men think it's unmasculine to get abused, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
I can't hear you. You're kind of.
You have men who believe in not hitting women, and women will dog them and do that as well. You know, you never hear a lot of that. So I was just wondering. But,
we're also, along with the collective on the line with us, producing a show entitled Stop in the Name of Love. That'll be, we're going to have that show on October 13th. Currently, we don't have a venue, but I am a strong believer that with these kind of missions, it has to happen. So I'm being faithful that we'll have a venue by then. But basically, in Stop in the Name of Love, we're addressing five different types of domestic violence. We're dealing with the brother Will is going to represent the abuser, but he's a generational, you know, it's a generational curse. He's just seen abuse in his family. He doesn't know why. We've got a sister, Shawan McKenzie. She's an actress from Last Dance, I think the movie was. She's playing the Christian woman who uses the cloak of Christianity to hide the fact that she's being abused. We're dealing with the teenagers, and we're also going to address the young man who grew up in an abusive relationship, in an abusive household, vowed not to be an abuser, but found himself being abused. So in that event, we're going to dare to test the waters through poetry, dance, monologues, theater, the gambit of arts.
Awesome.
We're looking
forward. That sounds pretty good. So I wish you all the best on that. And finally, when are you going to be doing? Are you going to be doing any synopsis? Or not synopsis, but symposiums or anything? What do you think? Are you still there?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to be doing any talks, any sessions soon?
Who are you addressing? I'm sorry,
because
we can hardly.
Dominique.
Hey, Red, you're fading out again, man.
Okay, Dominique, can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, the conversation sounds really broken, though, but I'm trying to make out what you're saying.
Okay, what I'm saying is when are you going to be doing any symposium, Jerry? Do you got anything coming up in that?
February. We're working on February around Valentine's.
Okay. All right.
You want me to keep you posted?
Keep us posted.
I said, do you want me to keep you posted?
Yes, I do. That's the reason why I'm asking. And I want to also keep up with all of you all.
Well,
Unsane
Talent will be doing a show this Friday called What She Said in Manhattan. And we also do a weekly show called Untamed Brings Broadway to Brooklyn.
Okay, well, y'all need to invite some folks up to New York so you can show me around, because I don't want to come up there and be looking up and shit and the guy get robbed and shit. I love New York shirt on and everybody
again.
You know, I've been there, but I want to go with somebody who knows the area, all the five boroughs and
all
that.
All you got to do is just look up Offlower and I got your back.
Okay, all right. I hear you. I want to thank you all really for taking time out and coming on Word Sexy and dealing with me and DV. And we really appreciate y'all. And, you know, since you've been on here once, you know, you can come back anytime you want. Just let me know if it's just for a few minutes, just to shout out your book or something. You're welcome to do that. We will, you know, always have space for you in the future. So just hit me up like you did before. You don't have to go through anyone. You can just hit me up on Facebook and we'll get you on. Actually, we got some spots that some segments that need to be filled for the rest of the year, actually, from August, October on out, actually. So anytime you guys want to come back on and just do some spitting, like my brother said, spit some shit, you know. And it don't have to be erotic.
Awesome.
You can do whatever you're feeling. I just like erotica because, you know, we do that, but it can be whatever. And, of course, we want you to come back. We want you to feel comfortable because, you know, this is home for you as well. And we keep it unscripted for a reason, because we don't want you to have to come on here with questions that's going to be hurt. We want to get you a real answer from you, and that's the reason why Word Sexy is the way it is.
Mm. Well, we enjoyed being here tonight.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the company as well.
The block and the fucked up. That's just I'm sorry. But we try to let people know that before they come on the show what they're getting into. So when they come,
no, we
don't.
I was a like surprise. Got your ass.
Say that again. You were what?
No, I said I wasn't forewarned about what I was getting myself into. But I did have a good time, and I do appreciate the opportunity to put our words out there. Like I said, I'm Empress Poetry. Look me up on Facebook. Or you can reach out to Brazen Publishing and find me. They always direct you to me.
And I'm All Flowing Big Mama. You can find me on Facebook, or you can look at me at www.weareuntamedtalent.com.
And Clarity, you can find me on Facebook, Clarity with a K, not a C, Clarity Kiki Johnson. And also check out my daily and weekly blogs and journals on sisterstrong.org. As well as another organization on Bond, B-O-N-D, Inc., and very heavily into various issues we discussed tonight on women's self-empowerment. I'll just put it that way.
All right. What about the gentleman?
Real? Is he there?
I think
Real?
All the guys left.
Oh, I was waiting.
I think
what?
It's just us.
Oh. That's a message in of itself, the topic right there.
We're glad you guys came. And like I said, we'll have to tell your publisher that you've done a great job. And, of course, this show is recorded, so you'll be able to get it within the 30 minutes from now. You know, you'll be able to get it from me off my website, or I can try to go to your site and put it there. I'll just probably have it in my group, or I'll have it on my page. Most of y'all, if you're not friends on Red Snapper, you can be friends with me, just befriend me, and I'll have it there where you can get it, and you'll be able to have that and use it on your own leisure. And, you know, hopefully it won't be too nasty where people can use it on their, you know, well, you know, where they can use it, because I know I'm the one that was talking all the shit on here. But anyway, we appreciate y'all, and we thank you all for coming on. And you know, like I said, you can come back
whenever you like, just let me know and we'll get it done, okay?
Thank you.
All right, good. All
right. Okay,
so.
I was saying shout out to my sisters. I thought it's been fun. I really miss them. I'm homesick often, so I'm just hearing their voices is really making me smile. I love the queen right there.
Yeah.
Love you too.
We like that. That's all right. I'm sorry that you're crying, but it's happy tears, right?
Yeah, and also you did mention where's the brothers. One brother that was listening in. He just said he wanted to hear that brother Tony Christ is. I so wish you could have heard him spit, by the way, especially on this topic. But shout out to him as well, actually.
Well, you can always hear him on, he has a CD out as well, Underground Railroad, and that's also on www.weareuntamed.com, weareuntamedtalent.com, as well as on The Session, which is also on weareuntamed.com, untamedjala.com.
Okay.
Brother, definitely. Especially uplifting my day.
We got to put some outro, man. You got anything else you want to say real quick?
Oh, no.
DV, you on DV?
No, I'm still here, man.
Oh. Okay, you got anything else you want to say real quick before I put this outro in?
Oh, no, man. I had a lot of fun tonight, and I'm glad, you know, we were able to talk about some, you know, basically expound on our experiences dealing with the topic that we chose tonight. So it was a lot of fun to do it. And I appreciate you ladies for being sincere and honest.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to y'all soon. And like I said, the show is going to be available to you within the next 30 minutes. So you can pass it on to your friends and everyone that's your, you know, your fans and all that, that'll be able to listen to how we talk on Word Sexy Radio. So pass the word, and anybody who dares, they can come on the show. They know.
I'm sure.
off, try to repaint it. If you want picture perfect, well, we ain't it, because we painted our own porch with a me and you that can never be tainted. Because real love embodies all colors of the spectrum. Mix a few greens with your reds and your blues, create some new hues, then you rehang it. Start over, even though your friends gon' doubt you, and all them other niggas trying to scout you. It gets so tiring, but I'd be lying if I said that I'd be better off without you. And when I think of walking out you, smiling the way they make me feel like I'd be lost without you. Me and you are the only threat to us, till death to us, I'm standing next to you.
Without a somebody like you.